Well, good morning, everybody. I serve as a professor of geology and soils at Dickinson State University, but I also am the current historian of the Soil Science Society of America. And one of the things that I was asked to do as a part of the 75th anniversary celebrations was to put together, or to actually extend, a historical timeline that put together for the 50th anniversary. And I think, in fact, Mary Beth had put up a picture of the cover from that timeline when she had her talk up here. But so I'm going to talk about a little bit of what I put together as a part of that timeline. The societies have published that timeline, and if you haven't seen this yet or haven't picked one up, I've got a few in the very back of the room sitting on a chair back there if you'd like to grab one. They're also available in the Society Center, so you can stop by the Society Center in the exhibition hall, and they've got several of those out if you'd like to see kind of where our society has been and where we've gone, or a little bit about where we're going, but a lot of what we've been over the past 75 years. I'm going to go through just a little bit of what I've written up for our 75th history on today's slideshow here, and start off at the very beginning. We became a society officially in November of 1936 at a meeting held at the Mayflower Motel in Washington, D.C. And we're just a little bit early, I guess, or officially speaking. It'll be November before we're 75, but that happens this year. There were six sections, and they call them sections at this point in time as opposed to divisions. But there were six sections that were established as part of the charter. We had physics, chemistry, microbiology, fertility, morphology, and then a technology section. And you can look at those and you can see kind of the roots for a lot of our divisions that we still break into today, sitting in those original six sections. Richard Bradfield was elected as the first president of the societies. Now, not long after our first meeting, we started off with about 190 people at that initial meeting. By the end of the first year, we'd grown to over 500 members. There was a rapid growth in the very early portion of the society. Not long after that first meeting, we published our first proceedings. And one of the really big differences, of course, the Soil Science Society of America Journal is the has inherited the original proceedings title. One of the big differences between the journal today and the proceedings in the early days of our society is that the proceedings only published papers that were presented at the national meetings, thus the term proceedings. Our first editor of the proceedings was J.D. Luckett. And those are the very early days, the first year or so of our society. Now, I've got a lot more information in the paper than I've got time to talk to you about up here today, and I'd probably put you all to sleep anyway if I spent that much time going over all the things in the paper. So instead of going through and looking at dates and people and events so much, I decided to pull out some of the charts and graphs that I put together for the paper, just to show you some of the trends here in our society over time. And so this is a look at our membership numbers. If we go back, and you can see there, 1937, our 190 members at that first data point, a nice little jump up to a bit over 500 in year two. But we had pretty steady, consistent growth from the beginning of the society up into the mid-1980s. And in fact, we had an all-time high in membership in 1985, and that was 6,402 members. Moving away from 1985, we had a little bit of a decline, and then as we moved into the late 80s, early 90s, we had some significant declines in membership. Over the last 25 years, our all-time low, you can see, was a loss of more than 1,000 members. As compared to that 1985 high, that occurred in 2002, where we had just a little over 5,300 members in the society. And you know, when you start off with a base of 6,400 people, a loss of 1,000 plus people is a pretty large percentage of the membership. Now, of course, we go back, and these were kind of the early days in SSSA for me. I joined the society in 1996 as a graduate student, and I remember the those years being a lot of consternation about where membership was going and how we were going to shore membership up. I guess the good news is that as we look at our more recent numbers, we have recovered basically to those mid-1980 levels as we look at the society today. 2008 and 2010 were our second and third highest membership numbers, respectively, just behind that 1985 high. So things over the last few years are looking more positive from a membership perspective. Now, of course, one of the really big things we do as a society is we communicate information about the field that we study. And we have five different journals that SSSA either sponsors in whole or in part, in co-sponsorship with other societies. Those journals are the Soil Science Society of America Journal, which I would have to say is our flagship journal. We also have Soil Survey Horizons. And as I go through these, I'm actually putting them up in order of when they first began publication. SSSAJ, of course, started as the Proceedings in 1937, so it's been published for 74 years now. Soil Survey Horizons was first published, not by the societies, but was first published in 1960, later picked up by the societies, but it's been continuously published for a little over 50 years now. In 1972, we brought in two new journals to the society, that being the Journal of Environmental Quality, which gives the society a presence in that environmental part of the field. Also, the Journal of Natural Resources and Life Science Education, which provides an outlet for ideas, philosophies, et cetera, concerning the teaching of soils and related areas. And then our most recent journal came out in 2002, and that's the Vados Zone Journal. So we've got these five journals that SSSA takes part in terms of publication. Just a few trends. These, and if you, again, back to the paper, I've got more graphs that show different ways you can measure what's been put out by the journals and such. But you can see here trends in total pages over the years for our five journals. SSAJ, of course, with the longest record, is our longest running journal, and continues to be one of our most popular outlets for publication. JEQ has also become a very popular outlet for publication, particularly over the last decade or so, and actually many years publishes more total pages than SSAJ does. Vados Zone Journal also became peaked up to about 1,200 pages published per year very rapidly. It has more or less stabilized about that level over the last few years. And then they don't really show it so much on this graph because the other journals publish many more pages. But if you, I've taken particularly Soil Survey Horizons and I've graphed this out just Horizons, and so it's not muffled by the larger pages, but Horizons and Journal of Natural Resources, Life Science Education also have shown trends of increasing publication pages over the years. So we do have increased interest in putting things out in our journals. Finances, always a rather important point when you're trying to carry out something like our society. It's hard to do with things in today's world without money. And so this is just a look at our financial health over the years. The early years there, where there's some missing data points, actually isn't missing data. We had several years in the early days of the society that we finished in the red, at least at the end of the fiscal year. And it wasn't enough in the red that I could graph it on this chart and actually have it make any sense. And so they just appear as missing data points here. The early days, you're talking about being in the red by $100 or being in the black by $300. kind of thing, and that really gets muffled out by the $3 million net worth in today's world when you try to put it all in the same graph. But you can see, again, similar to our membership, we had a pretty consistent increase in our society's net worth going up into the late 90s. We took a real head dive going into the early 2000s, actually lost $1 million+ in net worth with a low in 2002. But thankfully, we have, again, recovered from that in more recent years. And again, one of those things I remember as a young member of SSSA was some financial worries when you looked at that late 1990s, early 2000s period. Now, of course, as we look ahead, we would certainly like to be here again in 25 years to celebrate 100 years and then more beyond that. And so we've got a few challenges to look forward to or to address as we look towards that. Some of these challenges have been brought up already in the discussions from this morning, the presentations, and the discussion session that we had. And one of those challenges is there are a lot of people teaching soils coursework. You know, a lot of different fields other than soil scientists. They're teaching that coursework. This is just a look at soils classes taught here in the U.S. From a study that I did a couple of years ago. We got geology, geography, environmental science, all offering significant soils coursework in addition to our traditional ag programs. And I didn't include them in the study, but there are some other departments going to put in here as well. For example, the biologists are doing some stuff with soil microbiology, soil biology. So there's other fields out there teaching soil science. We have experienced decreased enrollment, and I've seen, this is a look at a chart from a paper by Hardemink and colleagues a couple of years ago. This focuses on graduate student enrollment in U.S. and Canadian universities. I've already attended, yesterday there was an education, some education talks yesterday morning, and I saw a graph or two go up that looked at declining undergraduate enrollments at various schools, and so this is a concern to keep the field of soils going forward, the society going forward. We need to have new individuals entering. So we need to look at that. And a lot of our soil science departments have actually disappeared. There aren't a lot of departments of soil science anymore. We find soil scientists in other places, consolidated with other places, but that's been a concern. There's also opportunities, however. We're looking at a lot of opportunities in the environmental field, for example, or other issues that are coming up as people realize soils are really important to addressing a lot of our modern challenges. And so there are chances, there are opportunities to find new jobs, things that aren't necessarily what we consider our traditional employment opportunities. And just, just one quick example, I'm out in western North Dakota right now. We have a big oil boom going on in that part of the country, and we're actually placing a lot of our ag students, particularly those with training in the areas of range science and soil science, into the oil fields right now, not extracting oil, but dealing with environmental issues that come up because of that oil extraction. So I guess that's what I've got. Again, the papers are on the back or they're down in the exhibit center. If you'd like to know a little bit more about our society's history, I encourage you to pick those up.
Okay, we'll have to hold questions until the next break. And I just wanted to remind everyone who's here, we did have a slight change in schedule this morning. The Sally Brown and Tom DeSutter paper that's in your program book at the end of this session has already been presented. So we're working our way through the four papers before that. The next paper will be by Stephen Anderson, Building a Bright Future for Soil Science from Strong Foundations.